it's not all about being a celebrity, right? Again, it's great, but it doesn't, a celebrity doesn't necessarily translate into impact, doesn't necessarily translate into listens, doesn't necessarily translate into a successful podcast, to be quite honest. I've been in plenty of situations where, you know, we've gone out and made investments, you know, over the course of my career into podcasts that were driven by celebrities with huge followings that really, that flopped, to be quite frank. You know, just because you're a celebrity and you have a huge following doesn't translate. You know, Instagram followers do not translate into listeners.
Welcome to the Podcast Ally Podcast. I'm Dr. Sarah Glova, keynote speaker and workshop facilitator, and I'm on a mission to find out how to be the best podcast guest. So I'm talking with hosts, people who have been guests on hundreds of podcasts and podcast network executives, so I can learn the good and the bad, what works, what doesn't, and how I can build my brand through podcast guesting. And with me today, I am so honored, honestly, to even be sitting next to you. We have kind of a podcast legend, Aki Garrett, the general manager of Revolt Podcast Network, which produces some of the biggest podcasts in hip hop and black culture. Welcome, Aki. We're so excited
you're
here.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here and thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, we have a ton of questions that we want to ask you today, mostly about how we can get on some of the biggest podcasts since you literally run some of the biggest podcasts. But we have this one question we ask all of our guests.
Yeah.
Kind of a fun one. Can you tell us about your worst podcast experience?
That's a tough question. So I would say, I mean, one of the most challenging ones we had was, this is actually when I was, let's go back roughly 10 years to CBS when I was launching Play.it, which was the CBS radio podcast network. And we had just kind of started implementing, I would say simulcast of podcasts, right? Where it wasn't necessarily, you know, the three camera shoot. It wasn't as produced as podcasts are today, as video podcasts are today. But this was when podcasters were like, hey, the audio is great, but like, I'd like to get some video as well. And so we started putting in, put in like one or two cameras in a converted office in the Time and Life building in New York City.
Ooh.
You know, it wasn't as beautiful as this studio is with kind of the backdrops and all that stuff. It was very kind of rudimentary, but it served our purposes because we were really honestly at the time focused just on audio. And so I remember we were putting all the equipment. A good buddy of mine was the kind of the set designer slash studio engineer. He put in all the equipment and we were going to go record our first podcast. And I believe it might've been Rap Radar or something like that. And long story short is we had like, they started recording. We thought the equipment was on. We thought everything was recording.
Oh, no.
And then we got to the end of it and realized that there was no footage.
Oh no.
There was absolutely no footage.
Oh,
and I think
no.
We had like, and there was a big guest on that podcast. Cause again, this was going to be like one of the first podcasts that was going to be simulcast. So there was like literally no footage. We're all looking around like, we got the audio, but we got the audio. And they're like, well, we wanted the footage. And so we're like, do we go back and re-record?
Right.
And so we ended up not re-recording. We troubleshooted what happened. It was smooth thereafter. But that was kind of like, that was a bellwether moment for me just because again, that was like when video kind of got introduced to this audio format that we had grown so accustomed to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, now you look in 95% of podcasts also have a video component.
Right. Even if we're just listening to them, a lot of times, usually you have the option of watching.
Yeah, you have the option of watching. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was,
but this was early days.
That was early days. I would say it was probably one of my worst moments just because there was so much like, you know, we were so much anticipation for like actually, you know, doing this and having a video component and being able to release the video. But it didn't go too well.
Well, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you sharing that story with us.
Thank
because
you.
I think we have a lot of folks who want to be guests and I think they get nervous, especially if they've never done this before. And I hope that even though we hate that this happened to you, we would not wish this on you, but knowing that the Aki Garrett of Revolt Podcast Network was in an experience once where I don't know what happened. Somebody forgot to hit the record button or the wrong thing was plugged into the wrong thing.
Yeah,
who knows?
I have no clue.
Happened to you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Look, you're fine.
I made it out alive. You know, I made it to live another day. So you know, just kind of roll up the punches.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
And I know it's not something that happens to you a lot, but it did happen to you once. And for all of you out there who are thinking about taking this risk, I mean, things happen and you'll be all right. It's better to take that chance. So let's get talking about it. Let's talk about some big podcasts. I have to do the list. I can't not.
Let's hear it.
Can we see this?
Drum roll, please.
I mean, so you've got a couple podcasts, a couple that you produce.
Sure.
We're talking about Assets Over Liabilities is in the top 1.5% of podcasts. This is according to listennotes.com. The Realest Podcast Ever is in the top 1%. You've got three shows in the top 0.5%, Nice and Neat, While Black, Black Wealth Renaissance, mm-hmm. top 0.5%, and then top 0.05% with Carisha, Please.
Yeah.
Dang.
Honestly, I didn't even know those stats, but thank you. This was, I knew they all did well. I didn't know like percentile. So this is awesome.
That's well. So, yeah. I mean, congratulations, but can you brag on some of it? Because, well, and let me say too, you have like 50 more podcasts.
Yes.
Those are just like top tier.
Yes.
Can you brag on some of these shows for a minute?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I got to give a shout out to all the creators that make those shows what they are. We would be nothing without our amazing creators and hosts on those podcasts. So they are the true geniuses behind them. They are the creative geniuses behind them. And so I give all credit to them. We're just happy as a company and as a network to be able to work with them, to be able to help, you know, promote, market, distribute, and monetize their podcast and to put more money in their pockets as a result of being great creators. Ironically, all of those shows have video components, which also do very, very well.
Oh, really?
And so we're blessed in the sense that those podcasts perform well both audio side and video side. But like I said, it really is all because of the great creators, and they've really found their niche. They found their audience, and they're just very authentic. You know, I love all those shows. I think, it's such a diverse, it kind of shows the vast diversity of our network. Mm. You've got two shows in there that are really focused on entrepreneurship and business, Assets Over Liabilities and Black Wealth Renaissance. Then you have a show that's more focused on social justice with like Wild Black and really illuminating the Black experience in America and talking about those very touchy subjects that oftentimes get overlooked. And then you've got more of kind of the hip hop focused Carisha, Please. You know, she's, you know, of the famous City Girls, and, you know, it gives her a chance to kind of, you know, do things that she wouldn't ordinarily get to do as an artist, right? And talk about things and have conversations. And it's really, you know, a platform for her to kind of be open and honest and just kind of raw. And then you've got Nice and Neat, which I love. It's three African-American men out of LA that really talk about relationships, talk about Black manhood and Black love and really try to be a space of comfort for young Black men, and a place where young Black men can kind of see themselves and get reinforcement around, you know, social, you know, political relationship issues, right? And just, you know, growing up as a Black man in America. So I'm really proud of all of them, and like I said, I'm just honored to be able to work with them and have them on our network.
Something that's really cool about what you just highlighted is how different all those podcasts are.
Yeah.
You know, we went through and just, we played the numbers game and talked about the top podcasts.
Yeah.
But then as you explain a little bit of the story of each one of those, we hear there are so many different topics. And clearly these topics are doing well with people. This is resonating. You gave a lot of credit to the creators and the folks who are giving voice to those stories. Mm-hmm. And so certainly that's a huge part of it. But it does point to this idea that when we're talking about podcasting, there are just so many different topics that bring people in. There's so many different ways that you can get audience members to come in and listen. And so I would love to ask you about when you're thinking about these top podcasts and all these different topics, how these folks are choosing guests. And I know that for some of your shows, I mean, there are big guests on there.
Yeah.
I was looking at some of the, you know, VIP lists of some of the guests that y'all had on in previous seasons. But can you tell us a little bit about some of the key factors that either as the production side or even thinking about the creator side, how do they pick the guests that they're bringing on?
Yeah, I think, and again, I think to your point, given all of the different kind of, you know, genres or subgenres within that list of podcasts you gave and within our broader network, I think there's different things that they're looking for, right? I think at the foundation, they're looking for guests that are going to resonate and be authentic with their audience, right? I think, you know, having a dose of celebrity never hurts, right?
Right, and we see that on some of y'all's podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. Having, a large following on social media, having other outlets where you can actually, as a guest, promote the podcast that you guested on. Because a lot of times for a guest, it's PR. It's a chance for them to kind of market themselves, market what they're working on, talk about themselves, brag on themselves, have interesting conversations. And so I would say really kind of depends on the subgenre of the podcast when you look at it from a what makes the most sense. So, you know, you look at Assets Over Liabilities or Carisha, a lot of our podcasts, you know, are themed around, you know, youth culture and hip hop culture, mm-hmm. right? And so if you look at a lot of our guests, they are, you know, hip hop artists. They could be hip hop producers. They could be people that are in what we call the culture, right? Mm-hmm. And so that allows us, and it allows our podcasters to really let the culture speak in many different voices, mm-hmm. right? So again, take a podcast like Assets Over Liabilities, it's going to be much more focused on kind of personal wealth, mm-hmm. you know, entrepreneurship, business building, the things that folks like Rick Ross or YG or other artists have done outside of just being musicians to help build wealth, mm-hmm. Whether they are franchise owners of, you know, quick serve restaurants, or they own car washes, or they, you know, are avid car collectors. What are the things that they're investing in, and what are the things that they are doing to build wealth, right? And that's an mm-hmm. aspect of hip hop that you don't see unless, you know, you don't get a chance to hear unless you create spaces like Assets Over Liabilities for those conversations to happen. Yeah. And then on the flip side, if you want to kind of talk more, again, be a little bit rawer and a little bit more personal and a little bit more edgy, mm-hmm. And get a little bit more of the tea, you might go on a Carisha Please, for example, where she's going to have some very kind of, you know, just raw conversations mm-hmm. about relationships and things like that. That's another facet of the culture that, again, you have to create a space for it to actually speak, you know, or if you want to go and talk about relationships, you know, from a more, I would say, structured and kind of philosophical perspective, something like Nice and Neat is a great place for, you know, males, you know, and they have females as well, but I would say, you know, their guests are predominantly males, but for males to go on and talk about, again, manhood and things like that and what that mm-hmm. meant, you know, growing up without a father potentially, or growing up in a two-parent household and how that impacted them and impacted their relationships, impacted, you know, how they view themselves as men, how they, you know, the things that they do, how they give back, how they mentor, all of those different things are conversations that are going to come through something like a Nice and Neat. Mm-hmm. So I would say it really is kind of at the foundation about finding guests that are going to resonate. Again, having a dose of celebrity helps just because, you know, it's a bright, shiny object and, you know, celebrity helps to kind of draw audience. But I would also say finding the right guests that can have the conversations that you want to have that are true and near to your podcast. Mm-hmm. And I got to say that not every single hip hop artist is right for every single podcast, right? And so you try to discern. And then, you know, there's also when you step outside of hip hop and you go kind of broader Black culture, you also want to talk to the movers and shakers in those arenas, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're not a hip hop artist, but you're a very well-known entrepreneur, I'll give you an example, like Pinky Cole, who owns mm-hmm. Slutty Vegan, for example. You know, she might guest on one of our podcasts mm-hmm. around, again, entrepreneurship. She's not a hip hop artist, right, but she's a part of the culture, and she speaks with a level of authenticity, you know, to entrepreneurs broadly, to Black female entrepreneurs that, you know, again, creating that space allows her to have those conversations.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing two things that I want to repeat back because these are huge takeaways for me. One, you mentioned the platform a couple times.
Yeah.
And the idea that if you do have some celebrity, sure, that's going to help. But what I'm not hearing you say is that that's an absolute requirement.
Correct.
And so I just want to emphasize that for some of our listeners, because I do think that for some of our early on folks who are thinking about getting into podcast guesting, mm-hmm. they kind of tell themselves no before they even ask anybody, mm-hmm. right? They give themselves the no before they mm-hmm. even put the question out there. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't have enough of a following.
Right.
And that's not necessarily the only factor. Sure, it helps.
Absolutely.
But just because you don't have that doesn't mean that you can't do it.
Correct.
So that's one thing I'm taking away. And then the other thing, you use this word space a lot, a space to speak.
Yep.
To the point where, I mean, I'm almost visualizing it, and it's become a very important thing. Almost like a thing we need to respect. The podcasts mm-hmm. that you have, that you're talking about, they're creating the space for these really important conversations.
Correct.
That if we're being honest, they might not be happening in a way that so many people could hear and be in mm-hmm. community with them if it weren't for these podcasts. So mm-hmm. these are spaces mm-hmm. that we're respecting. And if we're respecting these spaces, then we're going to honor who's a good fit. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm an entrepreneur, I'm not just going to go out and search for all podcasts that talk about entrepreneurship and then blindly apply.
Correct.
Because I'm not going to be a good fit for some of these podcasts. I Correct. Need to be more respectful of these spaces and the different conversations. That's what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you need to, as a person who wants to guest on a podcast, you want to listen to the podcast, the previous episode. You want to understand what that space is. Like, what are they trying? Mm-hmm. What is their intention? What is their mission as a podcast? Because to your point, not all podcasts are created equal, and not all podcasts, just because it's an entrepreneurship podcast, means it's the right podcast for you to be a guest on, right? You want to make sure that what you have to talk about, you know, the space that you're playing in. I mean, you could be, if you're a, you know, an agricultural entrepreneur, why would you go on a sports entrepreneurship podcast, right? It's just not going to resonate. It is right. Talking about entrepreneurship, but you're in the ag space, there's right. a sports space. You probably do a lot better finding other agricultural-based entrepreneurial podcasts where you're going to get a better engagement from the audience. Mm-hmm. You're going to benefit, you know, in terms of followership, in terms of people understanding and knowing your product, knowing who you are as an right. entrepreneur, because that'll be a more engaged community because you're relevant to them. So,
right, because it's a better fit.
It's a better fit.
Unless Absolutely. You're that one football player who retired and started his farm. Oh, who is that guy?
Right.
That guy, he would be good on the sports entrepreneurship podcast.
I know what you're talking about.
I'll look him up later.
Yeah, otherwise.
So it's about finding this fit. Okay, that's really helpful. And I think it elevates something that we both care a lot about, which is this podcast format.
Yes.
And this respect for the space that the production company all the way through to the creator that everyone's trying to create. Mm-hmm. But then two, as a potential guest, you're thinking about what's the best fit for you? Right. What's going to connect you to the best audience? Okay, right. So if I'm doing that, if I've done some work and I hear a couple podcasts and I'm like, this one would be perfect. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for some aspiring guests on how to make a pitch to get on those podcasts? Anything that you've seen that works?
Yeah, honestly, I think it goes back to kind of this authenticity, right? And showing how you're relatable to the audience for that podcast. To your earlier point, it's not all about being a celebrity, right? Again, it's great, but celebrity doesn't necessarily translate into impact, doesn't necessarily translate into listens, doesn't necessarily translate into a successful podcast, to be quite honest. I've been in plenty of situations where, you know, we've gone out and made investments, you know, over the course of my career into podcasts that were driven by celebrities with huge followings that really flopped, to be quite frank. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, you know, just because you're a celebrity and you have a huge following doesn't translate. You know, Instagram followers do not translate into listeners, right? It's a different ball game. But I would say in terms of pitching yourself, you know, I think it really comes down to what value can you bring to the podcast as well, right? So, you know, what value are you bringing? What makes you unique? Why is your story important? And why do you think your story is important for that particular audience? Mm-hmm. Also, I think one of the things that a lot of guests, that are not celebrities, and even celebrities, could do in terms of making their pitch stronger is like, hey, you know, I recognize that this is an opportunity for me to tell my story. Can I use some of your footage as a marketing opportunity, marketing material for me to post on my social handles or for me to post on my website, right? And there's kind of a reciprocal benefit there. Not only is it free content for you, which, you know, in the day and age we live in now, everybody wants content,
right.
But it's also a way to help promote the podcast, right? And drive additional audience to the podcaster, which, you know, every podcaster is big or small is looking for more audience, right?
So if I'm pitching to try and be on a podcast that you're producing, then I'm saying, by the way, I would love to use this to help, you know, share my message of XYZ. So I plan to share a lot of clips of it on my social media.
Exactly.
So you're saying that's helpful.
Exactly. Because now the podcaster sees there's a two-way benefit, right? It's not just, you know, you're getting on telling your story and the podcast is pushing it out. It's like, oh, I can also benefit by growing my audience because you're going to push this out to people that you know, right? And so that's the name of the game, right? Mm. Especially in the space where we are with, you know, millions of podcasts. Like, how do you cut through the noise, right?
There are a lot of podcasts. And y'all do a great job of cutting through the noise. So
We try. And we can always do better. I mean, I think we've done a good job by virtue of the space that we sit in and the types of podcasts that we... the types of creators that we work with and types of podcasts that we know our audience is attracted to. But there, you know, there's always room for improvement. I think, you know, we've got some podcasts in our network that are a little bit more nascent and we're trying to really put some muscle behind them to get them to that, you know, Black Wealth Renaissance or Wild Black level. Mm-hmm. But it's harder because, you know, those podcasts, Black Wealth Renaissance and Wild Black, were started, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
And it's amazing how quickly the landscape changes and how flooded it's gotten over the last 5 years. I would say COVID put us on a podcast growth trajectory like none other, right? Yeah. Because we were just locked in the house and people were looking for ways to communicate. And, you know, it just kind of was like a rocket ship. So I would say it's definitely more challenging now to scale a podcast than it was prior, but still doable.
but maybe it's helpful for our potential podcast guests to hear that from you.
Yes.
Because this is an area where they can help.
Exactly.
Even if your platform is relatively small, if I'm coming to you and saying, I'm willing to use my platform to share this episode, I'm going to be cutting it up and putting it on my social media. I'm going to be sharing it with everyone from, you know, my mom all the way through to everybody who's ever been in my address book. Right. Like, that's positive for you to hear because that's a problem you're trying to solve.
Absolutely. And listen, like I tell people all the time, like, it's about engagement. Right? Like a lot of people have a lot of followers and it's about engagement. You want to get people that are going to be listening to your podcast, retweeting or reposting about your podcast, commenting on your podcast, leaving comments on Apple Podcasts, or, you know, of endorsing your podcast. Like you want the engagement piece. All right. And so I say early on as a guest, you can really help drive that message of like, I can get you some really engaged podcast listeners that are not just going to show up one time to listen, but they're going to love this content because this aligns with who they are and they're going to be a repeat listener, right? Mm. And so a lot of times finding those like little niche audiences, if you stitch enough of those together, you'll get a nice size audience.
That's wonderful. And I think what a powerful thing to remember because I might not have the biggest network, but I bet that I have some engaged followers.
Absolutely.
And I can guarantee you if I'm on a podcast, my mom's going to comment on it. So maybe I use that when I, when I send you a message. Can I ask you related to this?
Sure.
What about engaging beforehand? So what if I want to be on a podcast that you're producing or that there's, imagine there's a creator who I really admire. If I'm an engaged fan, could that help me to get to be a guest? Or is there any amount of kind of networking or connecting ahead of time that could allow me to be a guest?
I think so. Again, I think it all depends on the podcast. And I think it all depends on, again, like what value are you bringing to the podcast?
Yeah, just coming back to that value.
But I do, I mean, I would say intuitively as a podcast host or podcast producer, like if you can show that being that there's longitudinal kind of distance in terms of relationship to the podcast where like you start out as a listener and you're such an avid listener, like your avid listeners have an opportunity to actually be on the podcast. Mm. I think that just endears more loyalty and just commitment from your broader audience. Like there's nothing more powerful to me than getting on and saying, hey, you know, this person started out as a longtime listener, you know, was engaging with me offline or via social, via email, you know, so forth and so on. And I was just so compelled to bring him or her on, you know, to be a guest on this podcast to really talk about their story and why they fell so in love with my podcast, right? Yeah. I think kind of having those highlights of audience from time to time is really, really powerful for a podcaster. And I think it's really, really powerful for the audience to hear that because I think that'll just, that'll drive more, again, more engagement and just more loyalty and more commitment to the podcast from your broader audience.
So that's kind of a good idea for podcast hosts too.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Hashtag longtime listener. Okay.
Yes. Yes. I love that hashtag.
What about some common mistakes that you've seen? So we've talked about some things that folks can do if they're trying to be podcast guests. What are some maybe things that we should avoid or some things that you've seen that have not worked?
Yeah. Don't get on and use it as like an hour long commercial, right? Yeah. I think some people, I've seen, you know, not frequently, but on occasion people get on and they're trying to use it to like self-promote so much that they lose sight of the conversation and it becomes almost, you know, glaringly obvious to the audience that it's not, that they're not there for the conversation. They're there to kind of like self-promote. Don't be late, you know, you know, I'm going to be respectful of people's time. Don't overpromise on your capabilities, right? Like don't overpromise. Don't, you know, don't lie. Don't make up stuff. Don't.
Well, we said authenticity, you know, a couple times.
Authenticity.
But
exactly.
I should not tell you that I have 10,000 followers if I do not.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you're going to figure that out when our episode gets shared.
And don't tell me you did something that you didn't really do because if I want to go there as the host and have a real conversation, it's going to, again, it's going to be obvious that there's no substance to that claim because it's not true. So like,
it would be worse to get a podcast because you lied about something you did and then not be able to talk about it.
Exactly.
Than it is to just miss out on that opportunity and find one that's a better one, but being authentic about what you have done.
Exactly.
Okay, that's really helpful. Okay, so that's a mistake. Definitely not showing up and doing a commercial. I think in our pitch too, not showing up as a commercial. So when I'm when I'm pitching to you, it shouldn't be the Sarah Show.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It should not be the Sarah Show. It should be, this is your show.
Right.
Here's how my message really resonates and kind of, you know, seamlessly is synergistic with your show and your content. Being a podcast guest doesn't happen often. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people try to take advantage of, well, not a lot, some people, should I say, try to take advantage of that opportunity and make it about them instead of about the show.
Mm-hmm. And so we want to avoid that with our pitch, and we want to avoid that once we get on for that opportunity.
Absolutely.
Love it. And then we've talked about this a little bit, about this idea of, do I have to have a strong online presence in order to be a guest? I just want to emphasize again that you're kind of telling us no. Yeah. Not that it doesn't help.
Right.
But is there anything that you would suggest if I'm trying to get onto more podcasts, if this is a format that I really enjoy, but I want to grow by being a guest, is there a certain social media account that's most helpful, or does it depend on the show? I feel like I know the answer.
In my opinion, I feel like Instagram is really the social media platform where you see a lot of podcast content, period.
I do feel like Reels lately, it's a lot of clips of podcasts.
And I don't know if TikTok is going to get there, or if TikTok, I'm not a TikToker. A little too old to be a TikToker.
I know, I feel the same. It's like, am I allowed to be here?
Yeah, I feel like when my nieces and nephews are on TikTok, it's like, I shouldn't be there. Like, you know, the fact that they're not on Facebook because they think that's not cool makes me feel better about Facebook.
Yeah.
But
it's like, that's fine. This is a space for us.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, if you're like, you know, late millennial, you know.
If you remember when you needed a college address.
Exactly.
To need Facebook.
Exactly. Exactly. Then you can be there. Exactly. Then you can be there. Exactly. That's a great way to put it. But I would say, I think Instagram is a great platform. I feel like you just see a lot of podcast content. Mm-hmm. You're starting to see more on TikTok, is my understanding, but I think TikTok just has, it's such a creator driven platform that like you get just volumes of just all different types of creators. I think the reason why IG lends itself more towards podcast is because IG is much more of a curated platform. I think people really curate their IG presence.
My Instagram looks very different from your Instagram. Looks very different from my husband's Instagram, which I'm pretty sure is 100% like Michael Jordan clips.
Correct.
Golf. There's going to be a lot of golf on there, and like comedy shorts.
Right.
Those are three things I never see on my Instagram.
Right.
Same platform.
Right.
But his is so curated to him. Mine is so curated
to
me.
Very, very curated. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. And so I feel like that's a good place to like say, hey, check me out on Instagram. Here are the, you know, I've got, you know, various posts of me guesting on podcasts in the past. Mm-hmm. Right. Or, you know, again, I'm a podcast purist, and you know, I feel like, you know, the death of podcasting is the camera, right? Because it turns into a video show or a talk show. But send people audio clips, right? Like, let people hear you rather than see you. Let people hear you and hear how well spoken you are, even if it's audio, right?
So we haven't heard this as pitch advice, and I think this is really cool, because this is something, even if I haven't been on a podcast, I can record a voice memo or just like a quick audiogram of me, and I can send it.
Yeah. Send it out and say, hey, this is me on, you know, this is me, this is my voice, this is how I articulate.
Cool.
Again, podcasting to me is an audio format first. And so, you know, if you're not able to you want to make sure that, you know, somebody might be, you know, camera ready, great, but I've got to hop in the car and drive 30, 45 minutes an hour, and I'm going to pop the podcast, and audio-wise, I want to make sure that they're well-spoken, they're articulate, their voice is clear, it's strong, like you can actually, it's an enjoyable experience, even as an audio experience for a listener. So I would say that's something else you can do.
That makes sense, because I think even just as somebody who listens to a lot of podcasts, I find new podcasts thanks to Instagram, my curated Instagram that delivers me the things that I want.
Yep.
And then I see them on Instagram, and I do see that video clip, but then I'm going to go listen to them because I'm driving in the car and I'm listening to them. So even though my first experience with them might be that short video clip, it's still that audio format.
Exactly.
What a great point. Okay. Exactly. One of my last few questions here.
Sure.
This one is, what type of guests tend to perform the best on podcasts? And I wanted to ask you this. I'm going to cheat a little bit and tell you the answer I'm hoping for, but you can tell me if I'm wrong. I'm hoping that you're going to tell me that there isn't one kind of guest.
Yeah.
Because when I listen to all the podcasts that you've worked on, I hear all different kinds of guests.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that, and I'm hoping that there are some things that maybe the best guests have in common that you can give us as maybe things that we can work on.
Mm-hmm.
But for our audience, I'm always trying to encourage that there's There's not one kind of podcast guest. Mm-hmm. You're not mm-hmm. born with some kind of badge that says you would be great on a podcast.
Right.
It's a practice. It's something you can work on. Try and be encouraging for our folks who are thinking about doing it.
Right.
But what do you think? Is there a kind of guest who tends to perform well?
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, which is not like one, there's not one profile of a guest that does well on a podcast. I would say guests that are, I mean, not to beat the word over the head, but authentic,
mm-hmm.
and guests that don't mind being vulnerable, right? Mm. Don't mind having the difficult conversations, right? Guests that let you in a little bit, right? Yeah. Let you inside of their head a little bit, right? Inside of their, you know, guests who open up a little bit more, right? Who go a layer deeper, right? Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you can get on podcasts and have surface conversations, mm-hmm. or you can get on podcasts and actually have like deep conversations that yield aha moments, mm-hmm. that challenge listeners and challenge viewers to look at themselves and challenge their own preconceived notions, or look at themselves and challenge their own thought process. Mm. Or you can have podcasts that allow people to learn something or just be exposed to something that they've never been exposed to, right? And I think that all comes by virtue of being a guest that is willing to use a Japanese, like be an open kimono, right? And open the kimono and just be, you know, transparent and just insightful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not be so guarded. I think those yield the best conversations. Again, it's going to be varying levels of kind of transparency or openness, right?
Yeah.
Depending on the person. Everybody won't be the same.
Right.
You know, it's also the job of the host to kind of tease that out a mm-hmm. bit, right? So it's kind of this kind of like push and pull.
Mm.
But I think as a guest, you know, since we're talking about guesting, I think it's really helpful when people can see that you're being authentic and at the same time also giving some deeper insights and being a little bit more of an open book.
Yes, I love this concept of open book.
Yeah.
We had our guest Marla Isaacson was on here from Asa Podcast, and she mm-hmm. talked to us about the difference between an interrogation and a conversation.
Correct.
And that really stuck with me because I think what I'm hearing from you on the host side is if I just ask you a question and you answer it and we go to the next one, and there really isn't any of that like follow-up, we're not getting a chance to go deeper.
Correct.
And so part of it is on the host being willing to ask those follow-up
Correct.
Questions. But then also your willingness as a guest.
Yes.
Even to come on here.
Yes.
And with our first question, you shared kind of a mistake, a podcast that you were on where the video didn't record. And
yeah.
you were open kimono enough with us
yeah.
to share that as a real example and to
exactly.
kind of bring that vulnerability in. And you're right. When I think about some of my favorite podcasts, the ones that I have a mentor who calls it making a dent on your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's from Mark Levy. The ones that have done that for me are the ones where they've been vulnerable and they've
right.
shared something real that maybe yeah. was a bit of a risk for them
yeah.
to share.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really
no,
helpful.
Absolutely.
And I think you joked that you use the word authenticity a lot, but I think it's been the perfect amount for what we're talking about here.
Absolutely.
Because that does require some authenticity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. So then when we're thinking about the best kind of guest, there isn't a personality trait that's coming to mind. There isn't even necessarily a skill set. It's more Mm-mm. this willingness to be open and to have these
conversations. Yeah, like it's intrinsic. It's more, I would say it's more just intrinsic, lack of better confidence to just be open.
I right? like the idea of confidence coming into it because there is a bit
yeah.
of a confident, like, I'm going to share this story that's a bit vulnerable and maybe
right.
it reveals a mistake that I made,
right.
but I'm confident in who I am and what I can do. So I'm
Correct.
Okay sharing this.
Correct.
Yeah. This isn't going to cast me in a negative light.
Right. It's not going to define me. Exactly.
It's not going to define
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
Oh, I love
it's
this.
It's a bump on the
yeah.
road and, you know, on to the next,
on
you
the
know,
next.
Opportunity.
Well, speaking of on to the next,
yeah.
we have a question that I love to ask. And with your podcast experience, I can't
sure.
wait to hear what you pick. We like to ask folks if you can think of an example of a single podcast, so
mm-hmm.
maybe one episode that changed a life, whether it was you listened to it and it changed your life, or it came out and it changed the host's life or a guest's life. Can you give us an example of a podcast that kind of was that change for somebody?
Wow, that's a tough question. So I'll give you two examples. So the first example was I listened to a podcast called Letters from Sing Sing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a young man in New York City falsely accused of murdering somebody in New York City in the, I think it was either Harlem or the Bronx. I can't remember. I think it was Harlem. It was Harlem. And this young man spent 23 years in jail in Sing Sing, which is a maximum security prison in along the Hudson River in New York. And the story reminded me so much of the Exonerated Five, what they were formerly known as the Central Park Five, and just kind of, it was very reminiscent of that story. But it just, you know, this was one individual. Just hearing that podcast was 8 episodes, very well done. I've always been very social justice oriented, born and raised in South Philadelphia. Like, you know, always saying to myself, that could have been me, right? Mm-hmm. Could have been me, you know, but for the grace of God, right? Could have been me, wrong place, wrong time. Oh, tall black man, you know, we're looking for with glasses on, mm-hmm. or, you know, sometimes I wear contacts, you know, low haircut, you know, you fit the description, right? That's really what it came down to. He fit the description, right? And it wasn't him. But he fit the description and wound up costing him a large portion of his life in incarceration. And so, I would say that podcast for me, much like, you know, When They See Us, which Ava DuVernay did, or 13, or like it just reignited the fire in me to continue to push for social justice, mm-hmm. to continue to lean into and dedicate myself to those causes that I find to be worthwhile. I listened to letters from Sing Sing maybe 6-8 months ago. To be honest, that was the first podcast I had listened to in probably 1.5-2 years.
Oh, wow.
Because I spend so much time listening to podcasts for my work that, you know, you just get podcasted out. And so I was like, you know, let me listen to something. I happened to stumble upon it. I highly recommend it for anybody who wants to listen to a really good podcast. It's sad, but it's very, again, it's very vulnerable. It's very well produced. And the story, you know, has a happy ending. He does get, you know, freed. He was pardoned and gets out of prison and is going on to do great things in his life. But it was just one of those podcasts, like it was like kind of right, it was right place, right time. And it was one that like recentered me on, like, you know, here are the things that matter, right? And like lean into and put energy into those things that matter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as a result, you know, I've kind of, you know, gone back to the drawing board and started to plot out, like, you know, how do I make an impact, you know, even here in the Raleigh-Durham area, mm-hmm. right? I'm not from here, from Philadelphia, you know, would love to go back home and have an impact there, but that's, you know, 500-400 miles away. Yeah. So it's almost like, where can I have an impact where I'm at? And so I've begun to do some work and lay a foundation for doing some really meaningful work here in the Raleigh-Durham area in the back half of this year into 2025. So I would say that was probably a podcast, Letters from Sing Sing, that really, you know, it was kind of a battery in my back, mm-hmm. To really kind of just stay, to get back on that kind of social justice path.
It's just really powerful. So thank you for sharing that. And I appreciate the chance to think about you listening to that podcast and thinking about what you can do. They say, start where you are, do what you can.
Exactly.
And here you are, starting where you are, doing what you can.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Not a problem. Yeah.
Well, we have our favorite end question that I think a lot of people are going to be taking advantage of, which is just, how can people follow you and stay connected with you if they want to continue following your work, seeing what you're working on, hearing about these great podcasts in the top 0.05%. What's the best way for us to follow?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I work at Revolt Media, which is the largest black-owned media company in the U.S. So you can always go to www.revolt.tv. If you want to follow, you know, you can find all of our content there, whether it's, you know, video content, podcasts, so forth. We have different sections. We have, you know, watch, listen, featured content and so forth. So all the listen on the listen tab, you can find all of our podcasts. You can also find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. So if you go to Spotify and type in Revolt, or go to Apple and type in Revolt, we kind of have a network grouping of all of our podcasts on those platforms as well. Personally, if you want to, you know, follow me, I'm on, I guess, a few of the social media platforms.
Said not TikTok yet.
But I'm on, Instagram is probably the one I'm on the most. So it's AKGEEZ215. Got to give shout outs to the 215, my hometown, Philadelphia stand up. You can follow me there, AKGEEZ215 on Instagram. You can also follow me on LinkedIn, Akinwole Garrett, my whole name, whole first name, whole last name. We're on, it's a multi-channel media company. So we're on anywhere you can find media, whether it's on, connected television, fast channels. We have, you know, we're on cable networks. We're on every major cable network, I believe, except for two. So we're on like Charter, Cox, Comcast, Verizon Fios. We're also on YouTube. We're on every social media platform there is, including TikTok. So yeah, that's where you can follow our work and you can follow me.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to be doing that. And we just want to thank you. I can't thank you enough. You've given us so many gems. Authenticity was definitely one of the key words. So that's one of the themes that I'm walking away with. Okay. But also just so many ideas on how we can connect with podcasts, if we're thinking about guesting, ways that we can frame how we want to pitch and, and ways that we want to find podcasts that really align with us on more than just that surface level.
Right.
And then I'm going to be taking this with me for a long time, this idea of the space to speak.
Yes.
And that at the end of the day is what a podcast is. And there's something special to that. And it's going to be a long time before I forget that one. So thank you for that.
Awesome. No problem. It's been a pleasure. Thank you all for having me.
Yeah. And thank you to our, I'm so glad. Thank you to our listeners for listening to or watching this podcast. If this content was helpful for you at all, be sure to follow us on any podcast app or on YouTube, plus on social media. We're at Podcast Ally. And if you're looking to be a guest on more podcasts or to grow your brand, go to podcastally.com. I'm Dr. Sarah Glova. I'd love for you to follow me on LinkedIn as well, or you can find me at sarahglova.com. And we'll see you again soon on the Podcast Ally podcast.